Frantic Nerdcast, hosted by AJ and Brock, talking about all the nerdy things that you want to hear about. Let's get into it.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Frantic Nerdcast. We are officially teenagers!
It's been so long coming.
I know. A whole week since we weren't a teenager, we're now a teenager. That's right, it's episode 13.
Where is the time gone? It was like it was just yesterday when we came screaming into the world.
We grew up so fast. Yes, thank you very much for joining us and welcome to episode 13, ladies and gentlemen. We got a very exciting episode. We got some trailers to talk about, some movies to talk about.
The usual general shit that we usually end up going on a tangent on.
Pretty much. First off, let's start off with, have you heard any good rumors or anything yet, sir?
It was funny this week on the, doing the old scroll on, Facebook and Instagram and whatnot. I stumbled across a couple that, one was a rumor, but the other ones just really piqued my interest as to where they were.
I got a couple of those too.
So the rumor that I seen is, James Gunn's Superman movie. Mm-hmm. So it's reportedly going to feature a news headline, the Man of Steel being injured by a kryptonite bullet, i.e. Bloodsport was in jail for shooting Superman with a kryptonite bullet. So more or less linking the Suicide Squad or Bloodsport into that sort of realm of DC and whatnot for the movies series and whatever else he's got going on. So I thought that was pretty cool, just making... If those sort of subtleties are going to be there, I think that'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, all right. So my first piece, it wasn't actually really a rumor. It was more just a fun little meme that I saw. It was nerdy. What's the difference between science fiction and fantasy? Fantasy is when Carl Urban has long hair, and science fiction is when Carl Urban has short hair. It's so spot on.
Oh, bloody hell. The simple shit that you find.
Yeah, I know, right? What else you got?
I seen a good one where we have Sadie Sink. She plays the gingerhead girl in Stranger Things.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Yes.
So she has reportedly been confirmed to play Aloy in the Horizon Zero Dawn Netflix series.
I have no idea who Aloy is or what Horizon Dawn is.
So Horizon Zero Dawn is a video game.
I gather.
They've done a couple. So they did Horizon Zero Dawn, and the more recent one is The Forbidden West.
Horizon One Dawn?
Sure.
Horizon One Midday?
Oh, my God.
I'm a dad, man. It's a dad joke.
Anywho. Dickhead.
Yes. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Aloy's the main character in who you play along with through the game series. It's more or less many, many, many moons into the future where the world is kind of going backwards in a way that everybody is, how would you put it? Going back to the Stone Ages, kind of, so everyone's kicking around with like bows and arrows and whatnot.
Oh, is this the one with the robot?
So it's like civilization was so far advanced that it brought around the apocalypse.
Yeah.
And then one of the things that it sort of does is that all those machines, they're more or less there to bring the planet back to what it was previously. So they're there to rebuild the planet.
Okay.
And then the humans sort of come through at a later point. They're sort of released, et cetera, et cetera. Follows Aloy, who's the main character. It's a really, really fucking cool story, to be honest. Through the games, it's just an RPG, semi-open world and whatnot. Really, really cool game. Okay. Awesome story. If they can do this well, it'd be awesome. And Sadie Sink, she fits the character perfectly.
She's a good actress, too.
Mm, yeah, she is.
I've seen the robot... William Emmons and shit like that.
Yeah, exactly. Before. Yeah, I think they've got board games and stuff out about it now that I've wanted to have a little look at, but never really delved into it. But anyways.
So apparently, as of today, what are we, the 21st of March, recording this, Aaron Taylor-Johnson has officially been offered the role of the new James Bond.
There you go.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, it's Quicksilver from Marvel. He was Kick-Ass. He was also in Bullet Train, which is a fucking awesome movie. Mm. But yeah, he apparently has officially been offered the role as of today.
Well, there you go.
Yes.
He's also going to be Craven.
That's right. He's Craven. Yes. Yes. Any other fun facts?
One thing that I thought was interesting when I seen it, the Twisted Childhood Universe.
Twisted Child, what the so, fuck is so the you
know,
Child?
So you know there was a movie like, that we spoke a little bit about last week because it did so well at the movie awards.
Oh yes,
at Winnie,
yes.
Winnie the Pooh. So it's sort of, it's more or less through that universe where apparently there's a whole bunch of movies. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. Bambi, The Reckoning.
Oh.
Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare.
Is this done to look like a Marvel announcement?
Yes, it is. Oh my God. I thought it was great.
That's awesome.
Pinocchio, Unstrung. And then it ends with Pooniverse, Monsters Assemble.
Yes.
Absolute rubbish. I thought it was hilarious when I seen it, though.
I got, apparently, Deadpool and Wolverine theory suggests that Deadpool may create the MCU mutants. I don't know how. That's all the rumor said.
Fair enough.
So, but I think that'd make sense if he did do that.
Creates them or brings them to the place.
I don't know. Yeah. Something along those lines. And then also we've got Henry Cavill might be playing a Wolverine in the Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of different ones here where he might be playing a Wolverine variant, but there was another left field one. Like, it wasn't Cable. It was... it was something like that, like a completely left field variant as well. But I've seen his name popping up quite a lot.
Well, because he's officially has a role. They just they haven't announced what role it is.
Yeah, okay.
Whether it is, yeah. And then also, what have we got? Ted Lasso season 4 might be happening without Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah, right.
They teased a post on their Facebook or whatever it was, and it's highly possible there's going to be a season 4.
There you go.
Follow the... Coach Beard, Roy, and the grey-haired one.
Mm-hmm.
You got anything else?
Nah.
What else I got? Frank Grillo says DC studio heads James Gunn and Peter Safran have a whole plan for Rick Flagg Senior. It's going to play out throughout the whole DCU. I can't say what it is, and I'm hoping it will be equally as good, if not better, than Crossbones, because that's the dude that played Crossbones in Marvel.
Yep.
Apparently they got a big plan for Rick Flagg. What else? I think that's really it. The new Marvel game, 1943, Rise of Hydra. It's Black Panther, Captain America, officially got its name.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all the exciting, fun, geeky news that I've discovered.
I did see that Popeye might be getting a live action.
Nothing is wrong with Robin Williams' Popeye. How dare they get rid of Robin Williams' Popeye?
Oh, God.
All right, we got some good trailers for you today. So I'll let you pick which one you want to go first with, mate.
Well, the first one on my list is Suicide Squad Isekai.
Suicide Squad. So this looks interesting.
It looks very interesting.
Yeah.
It whilst it's Suicide Squad, from the trailer, it looks very much based around Harley Quinn as sort of the lead protagonist. I know that you'll enjoy that.
I have no issue with that.
I don't have an issue with that as well either, but that's just sort of the aura that I got watching the trailers.
I reckon they've geared the trailer towards Harley Quinn because of how popular she is.
Sure.
But I don't think the movie will be as heavily Harley Quinn.
I think it'll be
more Suicide Squad. It looks kind of more like James Gunn's Suicide Squad styling than like your comic Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
But I've read some of the Isekai comics. I've got a couple of the Joker ones and some of the Superman ones.
Yep.
They're not bad, but they're not amazing either.
Sure.
But this looks interesting. I'd like it, but I don't like it, the animation, because some of it looks to be 3D.
Mm.
Some of it looks to be 2D.
I know you've got your bugbear.
Yeah, I don't
that.
Like 3D.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, it just sort of, it happened. It looks like it'll be fun. It's definitely going heavier into that anime style of format and whatnot.
Like, have you seen the Marvel ones that they did a while back?
No.
Yeah, they did an X-Men.
Mm.
And they did a Wolverine one, and I believe maybe Black Panther or Avengers. Okay. I can't remember. But there was a couple of those done way back in the day, and they were actually, they were really, oh, Iron Man. It was Iron Man.
Yeah, okay.
They were really good. I thoroughly enjoyed them. So yeah, I'm hoping it'll be a bit like that. But it can't, and then DC also did the, that Batman one. Batman was like in samurai times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know which one you're talking about.
That wasn't horrible, but it wasn't great either.
Yeah, it was nothing special.
Yeah.
Nothing special. But I mean, for those who don't know, the idea is Isekai is another world. The other world has more or less monsters, but it's also got beings who aren't, they're like that cross between a monster and like a humanoid type monster type thing, yeah, is probably a good way to put it.
Essentially, if you've watched the trailer, you'll see like there's a whole heap of werewolves and stuff like that in the trailer.
Yeah, exactly. One thing, because I went and watched, because the trailer we were watching for this was the third one through. I went and watched the other trailers as well.
Oh, there was as well.
Yeah, so that the one that was there was the third one. Ah. So there's two other trailers out. If you watch all three, the soundtrack is like a super, like almost like a pop music jazzy type thing. Reminded me super of Cowboy Bebop.
Okay, I was going to say, yeah, that sounds like Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, yeah. I started watching those. I'm like, this is fucking Cowboy Bebop, except the Suicide Squad is jumping around the screen. No, it looks cool. It's been brought to us by Warner Bros. Japan and WIT Studio. WIT Studio brought us such things as Attack on Titan, Vinland Saga, Cabinari.
They only did the latest Attack on Titan, didn't they?
Didn't go that in depth. I just went for things that they had been a part of.
Pretty sure they only did the last season or last two seasons. Because I know Attack on Titan, another studio took over it the last couple of seasons, last season. And a lot of the fans were like, they went that full CGI route. Sure. And yeah. A lot of fans were very disappointed in the animation styling and stuff.
No, that's fair enough.
But I mean, this, yeah, like I said, this looks all right with the animation style, and it's got the hybrid 2D, 3D sort of thing. A lot of the more close-up personal shots look all look a lot more 2D.
Mm.
Kind of looks like Harley's going to do a swap with the princess.
Mm. Yeah, I got that aura.
They're very quite obviously made to look exactly the same.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
The princess will go back and Harley will stay.
Yeah, and the Shark King, I love Shark King. Shark King is a really cool character, and I love him in the Harley Quinn cartoon. He's fucking awesome in that. And in the Suicide Squad, Sylvester Stallone in the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Movie, he was good as well. All right, let's jump on to...
So you do mean King Shark, right?
King Shark. What did I say, Shark King?
Shark King.
Oh, fucking, I don't know.
The beauty of semantics.
Is it King Shark, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I'm not that big a fan of the character. I just think he's fucking cool.
He is very cool. Isn't it incredible? Like, on the note of that, like Sylvester Stallone, imagine how much he got paid to just go, me hungry. But then you've got fucking Vin Diesel doing Groot. I am Groot. How much money did he make off of that?
Like the 2 days of work.
Oh, exactly. It's incredible. What you can get paid for.
That's it, pretty much. All right, so...
You can pick the next one.
Let's jump on to The Crow.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a new Crow coming out. This is a remake of, or remake or retelling, depending on who you ask, of the 1994 one starring Brendan Lee.
Yes, it is.
So this is based on a comic by James O'Barr, who he wrote it after his wife died in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And... there sort of was his way of dealing with the tragedy of losing his fiancée and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the original one was 1994. Brendan Lee died in it, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Those who don't know, Brendan Lee is Bruce Lee's son. He died by a prop gun firing when it wasn't meant to fire and killed him. They finished the movie off with stunt doubles and all that kind of stuff. And it is one of my favorite movies. It is fucking amazing. The gothic tones, the music, the cinema, everything about that movie just looks fucking amazing. Even the really bad dialogue, the baddie dude, his voice, really deep voice. But he's like, you've got this long, pretty hair and he's a very pretty man.
Sure.
He's got this like kind of Christopher Lambert, like Highlander style voice. And but this
looks dark and fucking gritty.
This looks... It looks like the person that made it hasn't read the source material or watched any of the past movies.
So from my perspective,
yeah,
I haven't read the past. I haven't read it.
Yep.
I haven't even seen the movies.
You've never seen
I haven't seen them. Haven't seen them.
Oh, I don't think we can do this show anymore.
So I was very interested to see how you responded to the trailer because I actually
You're not allowed to watch the original Crow until after we have seen this movie.
That was actually going to be one of my other questions. So whether you want me to watch the old one first or whether you want me to watch this one first.
I want you to watch this movie first and then watch Brendan Lee's The Crow.
Right.
So essentially what the story is Eric is like he's in the original and in the music stuff, he's a rocker, right? He's got his fiance. Mm-hmm. A group of thugs break into the house. They rape and kill his missus in front of him and kill him.
Mm-hmm.
He dies, and then the crow brings his soul back from the dead because it's got unfinished business.
Yep.
Puts it back in his body, and essentially he becomes an immortal.
Yep.
And he goes out and he seeks revenge for the death of his wife.
Sure.
And he can't rest until he has his revenge. And essentially he goes through and kills each member of the T-Bird gang and eventually kills the big boss and then dies himself.
Cool.
That's essentially the story. There's no spoilers there because it's a pretty piss weak story in all honesty.
That's more or less what you see in the trailer as well.
It's Yeah, in the original, it's very gothic, very dark. Like it literally rains the entire movie because that's one of the girl. There's like a girl that he befriends, this little young girl, and one of her lines is, "It can't rain all the time," and it's that's a line from one of his songs way back in the day, and it kind of plays into like callbacks a couple of times. Sure. And so it's like literally raining the entire movie, and all this kind of stuff. And this one looks. Yeah, it looks more like they've kind of gone, you know what? He needs to be John Wick.
You reckon?
Yeah. It looks a lot more action heavy.
I definitely pick, it definitely seems more action heavy.
Whereas the original Crow, it wasn't an action movie.
Yeah, okay. So,
and yes, it had action in it, but it's not an action movie.
That was one thing that I thought. It definitely seemed very action heavy from the trailer. I was kind of hoping that they're doing that to bring people in. So here's the action, here's the blood, and then we'll give you a touch on the story. But when you go and see the movie, I'm hoping that it's more story-driven because even the little inklings that you get through the trailer of the story and that emotional pull from what has happened, as you just said, his girlfriend, wife, or whatever it is, gets raped and killed. Like, it's very obvious that happens at some point in time for whatever reason. And you sort of, even through the trailer, like you pick up on those couple of little things where he's emotionally charged. And the actor, Bill Skarsgård, so he's a fucking legend.
He's on fire.
And he can bring that shit to the screen. So I'm hoping they do go more into that sort of storytelling, emotionally charged and driven.
It's got, from what I've seen in the trailer, it looks like there's kind of gone a little bit more into the afterworld, a little bit more in this one, whereas like in the original, like there's no afterworld. You didn't see an afterworld.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of happened.
Sure.
Whereas in this one, it looks like you see the in-between world where his soul's like floating through the water and like when they push him into the puddle and stuff like that kind of looks a bit more like you actually see that kind of stuff.
Yeah, okay.
But I mean, this is the fifth Crow movie.
Yes.
Plus a TV series.
I didn't know about the TV series, so but I knew fifth grade.
You had this one. You had the second movie, which was The Stairway to Heaven, which was fucking fantastic, but could have been it wasn't anywhere near as good as the first one. Let's just put that there. Mm-hmm. But it was a good movie. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. But essentially what happened was with the second one, and if you go onto YouTube and find Good Bad Flicks, it's a fantastic YouTube channel. I'd recommend if anyone who enjoys movies. He did a really good dive onto what happened in this movie, essentially. And what happened was Miramax did this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the rapist fuckwits who run Miramax, e.g. the Weinsteins, Harvey Weinstein, decided to take the movie. And because originally the guy, James Barr, was like, I don't want you to do a sequel. Like, no sequel. And they're like, no, we want to do a sequel. And he's like, well, if you do a sequel, it has to be different. It cannot just be a remake of the first one.
Sure.
Essentially. And they're like, no, sure. And the director's come in. He's like, yep. And the director made it a new movie.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially the only connection in the movie is the girl in this one is an older version of the younger girl from the first movie.
Yeah, okay.
And then there's all this whole story that was meant to happen. And Harvey Weinstein came in and went, no, I want it to be more like the first one. And he took it from the director and then cut it themselves and released it.
Right.
And the director's like, I don't want a part of this. And he tried to take his name off it and all this kind of stuff. And like, yeah, so if you watch Good Bad Fleas, he goes into a deep dive of what actually happened and what was meant to happen in the movie and stuff like that. Then you had a third one called Salvation, which had Kirsten Dunst in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not horrible. It's not great by any means, but it's not horrible. And then
watchable by the sounds. Yeah.
And then you had the fourth one, which was a pile of shit. This one's called Wicker Prayer and stars Edward Furlong as the crow.
Mm.
All of these, they're all different crows as well. And the baddie in this one is David Boreanaz, a.g. Angel from Buffy. And fuck me, is this one bad. I have all of them on DVD, but this one is really bad. And then the series is essentially a retelling of the first movie.
Yeah, okay.
And the series is actually really enjoyable. I have that on DVD too. It's a quite an enjoyable series.
Okay.
It's kind of a cop procedural kind of thing. Now he's like helping the police solve crimes and stuff to try and cure his soul kind of thing. So, you know, hope it's going to be good. I hope, but
I get a feeling that I'm going to enjoy it a lot more than you will because of your nostalgic pull to the older stuff.
I love the original movie, so it's going to be hard to try. It's kind of like if they remade Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, okay.
Like I'm going to go in going, I fucking love Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I get you.
You better have done something special here, motherfuckers.
I completely get you. Completely get you there. I think it looks great. As you said, the action looks sweet. See what they do about the story.
Yeah, I think most people are disappointed already by the fact that he doesn't look like the crow.
Yeah, okay.
Like he looks like the guy from Die Hard would, but decided to become a crow.
Right.
Instead of the lead singer of My Chemical Romance becoming a crow.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Which one you want?
Let's
get rid of this pile of shit that is Rebel Moon 2. And then we can carry on.
Right. So, okay. As we know, Rebel Moon Part 1, why did they do it? Anywho. So, Part 2, they've called it Scargiver, or The Scargiver, rather.
That's the main chick's name.
Yep. Coming out April 19th, so it's not far away.
And then apparently after this, they're releasing both 1 and 2 director's cuts.
Yep, director's cuts, which I think by the sounds of it, they go for about 6 hours in total between the two of them. Something like that. Anyways, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, fuck this movie.
Pretty much.
I'm probably not even going to watch this, to be honest.
So I will, because I'm a sucker.
I'm going to wait for the director's cut.
I'm a sucker for punishment. But I mean, watching the trailer, you get the first 20 seconds. It's fucking, I think it's excellent. Once again, it was excellent. The trailer makes it look fucking great.
See, I watched
And then, just wait, I'm not done. I watched that and then I got to the Netflix logo and then I remembered how much they fucked the first one and I'm like, oh, now I don't care anymore.
See, I watched that intro scene of her coming in like, boom, do, 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 bang, bang. I'm like, it still looks shit. Give me, like, I can't, she's not hitting anything. Yeah. I don't know whether it's her ability to sell that she can do it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or the fact that they've cut it and it just doesn't. I don't know what it is, but it's just, it doesn't work for me.
Something doesn't look right. And I can't wait until they bring out the director's cuts, which apparently is going to be a thing for Zack Snyder from now on. We're going to have to wait until he's released the movie and then re-release the movie to actually see what he's done.
Well, apparently he wants to go back and do a director's cut of Sucker Punch.
Okay.
Which, I mean, I don't care. I like Sucker Punch.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. So they can leave that. Like, there's no need to do anything there. But, I mean, one other thing I picked up on is that opening scene is like she comes through, does her shit. She ends up with a blue saber.
Mm-hmm.
So then you go to pretty much the final bit of the trailer.
I think they're allowed to call them sabers.
Oh, fucking the lightsaber.
The blue katana.
It's a fucking lightsaber. Anywho, you go to the final scene and she's kicking around with her blue lightsaber.
Yep.
It's the final scene of the fucking movie.
Yeah, 100%.
That's... So they've just shown you the fucking, the start and finish of the final fucking 15 minutes of the movie where she goes to attack someone, gets her fucking lightsaber, and then she goes and fucking attacks the bad guy on a ship that's exploding.
Yeah. And then the whole, I reckon the whole middle part of the movie is going to be flashbacks of each person's history, which should have been in the first one because we had no idea who they are when they were getting them.
Yep.
And then just all the people at the village attacking things, attacking them.
You know what I want to say? Jimmy.
Who's Jimmy?
The fucking robot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We were promised, show me more of Jimmy.
We were promised so much of Jimmy in the first movie. All we got was him touching some water in slow motion.
Yeah.
And getting a flower crown.
Show me Jimmy. He looks sweet. Coming down with his fucking Superman stance in the middle of the thing with his flapping cape and fucking horn crown thing.
Is his name Jimmy?
I found it somewhere and I'm running with it.
All right, we'll go with that's Jimmy from now on. I'm happy with it to be Jimmy.
Look, I don't think there's much more that we can say. I think the first one just left such a sour taste.
It really did.
That until we get the director's cuts, I mean, fucking just ride the wave.
Pretty much. It's just, yeah, we'll do what we're going to, we'll do what we've got to do to get through it.
And exactly.
Then we'll get the director's cut. Exactly. And then we'll probably still be disappointed, in all honesty.
I hope not.
Fuck me, movies. All right. Breathe.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I saw this one come up and I was like, oh, Djokovic. So it's Mila Djokovic.
Yep.
For those of you who don't know, that's the queen of Resident Evil movies herself.
Resident Evil movies, Fifth Element. Did you ever watch The Fourth Kind? The horror flick she was in? Or it was a found footage alien horror flick. Thriller horror type thing.
Sounds familiar.
Hmm. If nobody's watched that, it kind of fell under the radar.
The name sounds familiar. I feel
fucking
like
great movie.
I feel like I've seen it just from the name, but I'm not 100% sure.
Great. I really, really enjoyed it. Recommend anybody to go see it. It came out in 2009. Mila Jovovich, it's a fucking brilliant show. This one, so coming out on the 26th of April, so it's not far away. Stephen Bristol.
Never heard of him.
No, never heard of him. He's done stuff. Cool. starring Jennifer Hudson, American Idol winner. Great. Since then, she's done a whole bunch of different acting roles, apparently.
Yeah, she's done like Dreamgirls.
Yeah,
and a couple
Dreamgirls.
Things, yeah.
What was she in? She was in Dreamgirls, Tell It Like a Woman. It was like an anthology thing, which apparently did really well. She portrayed Aretha Franklin in Respect.
Oh, she did too. Yeah, that's
right. Yeah. I haven't seen that movie. I've heard it was actually really good.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
So look, she can act, which is good. Mila Jovovich doesn't have to act. She's just her, so it's great.
She does the same role every single time.
Exactly. I think we've seen everything in the trailer.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just from what we got from the trailer, oxygen's gone on Earth.
Yep.
There's a few people that think they're the only people left living in a little bunker. The husband has created an oxygen generator.
Yep.
He goes out.
The husband. He's there going, I can do stuff. And then you don't see him again.
Yeah, and I'm guessing he goes out and dies. And then Mila Djokovic comes to there and she's like, I need your oxygen. And it looks like she's going to be the baddie. And essentially it just looks like them trying to get in. It's like a sort of danger room kind of situation.
They made it look like she was the baddie at first. I'm getting in there. I need to see this thing.
Yep.
But then there's another little cut after that where she says to the other guy, no, we can't do that because we can't hurt them. You're like, hang on. It's like post-apocalyptic world. Nobody trusts anybody. Yeah. So they both want something. It's in one person's place. So they're going to fucking argue about it for an hour and a half on screen. And then they'll come together mutually and work it out at the end in some way, shape or form. And people will die along the way.
Yeah, it kind of just looks like a post-apocalyptic. Fuck me, I can't say
you
that.
You are doing great. Try again.
Post-apocalyptic. Panic Room.
Yeah.
Essentially. Yeah. All right.
See what happens.
That's all we need to talk about that one.
Yep.
I'll probably watch it, but I won't rush out.
Nah.
All right. This one came out yesterday.
Yep.
The Acolyte. Star Wars.
This looks good.
This
looks really fucking good. I think this one looks like it might have a good balance of the Jedi's lightsaber fighting story. Just from the trailer, it looks like they've actually got a balance between it all rather than being too heavily driven by one or the other. It looks fucking pimp.
And we got Trinity in this one.
Yep.
I can't remember what her name is. She was in Jessica Jones as well.
Carrie Ann Moss.
That's it. Yep. She looks like she's going to kick ass as a fucking
Jedi.
She does.
It's also got Daphne Keane.
Is she the baddie, the Sith one?
No, she's a Jedi, from what I could see.
Which one was she?
She was one of the, I'd seen she's like a dressed up in makeup. She's a half. It was like a half Trinigold or something like that. Yeah. I can't remember what it exactly was.
I don't know about you, but the trailer comes on as all the little kids sit there and they're all closing their eyes and they're like, close your eyes and stuff. I'm like, oh, and he's going to fuck you up. I'm like, I know it has nothing to do with Annie, but the whole time you just see kids in Star Wars in a room like that and you instantly just go, oh you're going to die.
Oh, God.
And he's going to fuck you up. Oh, dear
God. So coming out, we've got two episodes that are dropping on June 4th.
Oh, fucking June. So far away.
Yep. So dropping on June 4th. It'd be interesting. So I don't know if they're just going to drop two and then have one every week after that. I think that's something that they've done with a few of the other ones they've brought out. It's got Amanda Stenberg. She played Rue in The Hunger Games. Lee Jung Jae.
That's the main dude that's in the trailer, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he looked fucking familiar.
Yep.
No, not Padawan. He's the older guy.
Oh, the Padawan, the master.
Korean guy. He's from Squid Games.
Oh, he's a main
protagonist. I see his face. I'm like, who the fuck is that? Yep. So I got him in it. As I said, Daphne Keane, she was X-23 in Logan.
Yep.
And as you said, Carrie Moss. So Trinity, Jerry Hogarth in The Defenders and whatnot.
Yep.
The trailer oozes nostalgia.
Yep. And there is a Wookiee.
There is a Wookiee
Jedi, baby. Yep,
Wookiee Jedi. And from what I was reading, the guy who plays the Wookiee Jedi, I think has played Chewbacca in some way, shape, or form.
Okay.
Somewhere along the lines as well.
And what period is it set, do you think?
It's about 100 years before the main arc. So episode one.
That's not Old Republic, is it?
No, it's like High Republic the end of the High Republic or start of High Republic, I think it was, from what I was reading. I'm not going to pretend to know Star Wars lore or canon or anything like that. I basically know the movies as well as the more recent live action TV series, The Clone Wars. That was absolutely amazing, the cartoon that they did. But what'll be interesting is to see where this sits in the storyline as to whether it's going to be, I'm expecting it to be tied into it all.
It'll be tied in somewhere, but everything that's out currently is like Republic on kind of thing. Mm. So it's like, I think the earliest thing we have is episode one would be the earliest.
I believe so.
Earliest things we have in the canon.
Mm-hmm.
Besides maybe if they're like besides games or books and stuff.
Yeah, sure.
But I think, a lot of it got decanonized when Disney bought it. And they're kind of picking and choosing now what they want. So I'd say this will be the earliest live action / cartoony thing.
Because
everything else is all either Clone Wars, like all the cartoons, most of the cartoons are Clone Wars era.
Correct.
I think, aren't they? Like the Clone
Wars, Rebels through that war. Bad Batch sits around the same as well.
Yeah, and then then you got
Episode 1 through 9 where it's all about Sidious.
Yeah, and Ahsoka's after...
Ahsoka is, as I can understand, it's sort of in between. So it's
in between 6 and 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where Mandalorian and all that sit as well. Yeah. Because that's Luke's not old yet.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where that one sits. So yeah, this one's set about 100 years before the events of episode one. It'll be interesting to see who the Sith Lord is.
Yeah, because it's got the red lightsaber right at the end there. It goes
through the trees. Oh, that was so good.
Yeah. And then like
see the hand catch it, and then you just see all the like the green, blue, and whatnot light up, and then just get thrown back. He's like, "Fuck yeah, that looks sweet."
And the first ever yellow lightsaber, I believe. I saw someone on the internet saying that was a big thing. That was a yellow lightsaber, the first live action yellow lightsaber.
Oh no, Ahsoka had white. She didn't have yellow. She had white.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think because, that kind of goes into a little bit of Star Wars lore that I don't completely know, but it's like you've got I think it's blue is Padawan, green is master, Purple is just fucking Mace Windu wanted Samuel a purple
Jackson
one.
Samuel Jackson wants a purple lightsaber. Yep. You give Samuel Jackson exactly. a purple fucking lightsaber.
Your red is your Sith. Your yellow, it's like, my understanding is that it's in between. So it's not good or evil or like good side of the Force, dark side of the Force. It's the balance of the Force, I think it is. So someone who sort of looks at both sides, understands both sides and utilizes both sides or something like that.
Okay. And then you got the black saber, the dark saber.
Yeah, that's a different thing altogether. Yeah. And you've got white, which I don't know the lore behind white. But anyways, that's pulling at some very random strings in my head from a very long time ago. Yeah, I was looking.
I remember back in the day, I read a few of the books back in the day. Mm. I read the ones with the twins.
Oh yeah,
they were based on Han Solo and Leia's kids. They were twins in the books. There was a trilogy I read of that, and then there was also one I read about Mara Jade, which was Luke Skywalker's wife, the orange head chick. So I read something about that, and she was pretty cool. She was like goody/baddie when she wanted to be kind of thing. But they were good, and like Mara Jade was an awesome character, but I doubt they'll ever bring her in now.
Do you think it'll be Plagueis? Darth Plagueis, as in Palpatine's master, or do you think they're going to have another one again?
100 years.
But that's a thing, like the idea behind Plagueis is that he was able to cheat death.
Yeah, I reckon it's going to be. Because that's really the only major Sith lore that's been mentioned in the live action / animated.
Other than, I'm not going to start drawing it. Names and whatnot. I know there's other
big ones. Yeah. But I'm like, in recent canon kind of thing, that sounds like the only one that it possibly could be, unless they're bringing in a new one.
Yeah.
Like, you know, old bait.
Mm. So it'll be interesting because I read a little bit about Plagueis after I seen this and thought, fuck, who could it be? And I thought Plagueis would be cool. So there was a whole story arc done around him through, I believe it was comics or books, but as you said, it's been made non-canon.
Non-canon, yeah.
So Plagueis' stories around that era and what he could do and did do is non-canon, but he has been mentioned through the main story arc. Yep. So what will happen?
Because I believe that he's mentioned in like episode 3, isn't he? I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
episode 3.
Yeah. All right, well, it looks
so good.
It looks like it's going to be good.
It looks awesome.
I'm going to watch the shit out of it. I mean, there's not really much else we can say because they didn't really give us much in the trailer. So, no.
Move.
Alrighty, we've got a couple of movies to talk about for you in this episode. But first, I want to talk about a movie that I haven't prepared Brock for, mainly because let's just talk about it and get it over with because I don't need Brock to watch it because it was a fucking pile of shit. And that is Madam Web. Now, I watched Madam Web. Fuck me, this is a mess of a movie.
I'm still probably going to watch it. Yeah.
Look, this way we don't have to talk about it ever again.
Okay.
It happened. Let's get over with it. So essentially...
It is that bad?
Dakota Fanning doesn't look like she gives a fuck at all in this movie. It's 100% a paycheck for her. Look, most of the actors... most of the actresses in this movie look like they don't give a fuck.
Right.
The two times you see them in the costume, they look fucking horrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they don't look good, in my opinion. It just looks bad. Sydney Sweeney is probably, her costume looks probably the best. Arana's looks shit as hell. Mm. And the other Spider-Woman, it just looks bad. You see him for about 2 seconds in it, and that's really about it for costume-wise. It's so badly written. It jumps all over the fucking place. Like, she's on the train. She's like, oh, I see visions. And it's like, oh, yep. The evil Spider-Man dude with horrible fucking wig hair is going to try and kidnap these girls or kill these girls. So I'm going to go get them. And then they're like, they're going to argue with me, but it's going to be argued like in 2 seconds and be over. And then we're going to be off the bus. And I'm going to make a comment that one of them's going to make a comment that says, oh, she's trying to kidnap us. Now, all of a sudden, everyone thinks we're kidnapping her. I'm kidnapping these three girls and it's all over the fucking radio. I'm going to steal a cab and take these girls. But then they're not going to think I'm kidnapping them. But everyone's still going to think that I'm kidnapping these girls. But then somehow I've got to go to South Africa. So I'm South America. So I'm just going to leave these girls while the Spider-Man guy's hunting them.
How can she leave them if she's kidnapping them?
But so she goes to fucking South America to find this magical tree that she has in a fucking photo. And then she magically finds this fucking tree. And then this dude is still alive from then, like some Spider-Man wannabe guy there. He goes, oh, I was expecting you. I'll push you into this water so you learn how to use your powers. And then an actually really cool CGI scene happens where there's spider webs and stuff and it looks really pretty and stuff. And then she comes back and all of a sudden she can like predict everything that's going to happen. She's like, quick, jump left, jump right. Oh, yeah, the sign's going to fall on this Spider-Man dude. And that's the movie.
So what did Peter Parker do?
He's not in it. He's not in it. It's got Mary Parker and it's got Ben Parker. And somehow they got Emma Roberts to play fucking Mary Parker. I don't know how the fuck they did that.
Yeah, right.
I guarantee there's some fucking blackmail happening in this movie. How these guys have fucking got this movie made from their horrible, atrocious script that they obviously put through ChatGPT and said, make us a fucking Madam Web movie.
Spent it all on casting, maybe?
I don't know. Emma Roberts is in it for like 5 minutes, but how the fuck they got her, I don't know.
Mm.
It's a pile of shit. It is an absolute pile of shit of a movie. And I hope to God I never ever see it again, even though apparently I've seen a thing that's like Sydney Sweeney's would love to reprise her role as Spider-Woman in the Spider-Man 4 and Tom Holland's Spider-Man 4. I'm like, please don't. Please don't.
Fucking hell.
It's such a bad movie. It's just so badly written and none of them look like they can even give a fuck that they're there.
Right.
And like...
next week, I'll let you know my thoughts.
Yeah, it's just fucking... yeah, it's just bad.
Don't, so just watch the trailer for an hour and a half and have a little bit of excitement for it?
If you've seen the trailer, you've fucking seen it. It's so bad.
But the tree wasn't in the trailer.
Oh, it's fucking so bad. All right. Code 8 Part 2.
Yep.
Came out on Netflix.
Did. 29th of Feb it came out, so it's been out for a little bit. Directed by Jeff Chan. He did the first one and some other movies that I hadn't heard of. Stars the Amell brothers.
Cousins.
Cousins. Yep. I always call them brothers, but yes, they are cousins. Stephen Amell and Robbie Amell. Stephen Amell, most commonly known from...
Green Arrow, e.g. Green. Batman.
Yes. And then Robbie from stuff like The Duff, Babysitter, Simulant,
Upload,
etc.
Upload is a great series on Amazon Prime. Watch mm-hmm. the shit out of that.
Yep.
Instead of watching this.
So I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. It was just chill.
It just happened.
Yeah, it just that happened.
That was my thoughts. Honestly, I watched it. I fell asleep twice.
The first one,
I enjoyed the first one because it was a new take on X-Men, essentially, on mutants. Mm. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And this one is kind of like they've gone, look, the first one, we had the mutants, you know, they were doing crime and stuff. What can we do in this one? Let's just forget that they have powers and make it a really shitty story
about
police corruption.
They tried to make it a drama.
Yeah, it just...
They didn't go for a balance between like a drama and an action flick. They just went straight for let's make this a drama and people who enjoyed the first one, let's throw a couple of cool scenes in it.
Yeah.
Because there were some really awesome like
oh, fuck yeah.
2 or 3 minute scenes.
Yep.
I mean the first...
when he shoots those two fucking Chappie robots.
Oh, that was fucking that insane. Awesome. That's like half hour into the movie.
Yeah.
And for the first half hour, nothing really happens other than he gets out of jail. So it's been, this is set about five years after. Yeah. So 5 years later, gets out of jail and then runs into Stephen Amell, who says, I'm here to help you. He goes, fuck off. And that's it.
Yeah.
And then it goes 6 months later and all of a sudden Robbie Mell's on crack.
Yeah.
Or psych, sorry.
Yep.
And Stephen Amell's selling the psych.
Yep. And then there's a cop.
There's a robot. A girl sees the brother die.
And she has powers that let her speak to robots.
She's a transponder.
Transponders, more than meets the eye.
Yeah, it happened. It's got some really cool bits.
One of my major things I had with it is it's a sequel, right?
Mm.
At no point, do they mention what happened in the first one.
No. Other than him coming out of jail.
If you haven't watched the first one, you'll have no fucking idea about the lore of this world.
Yep.
because at no point do they tell you what happened, like any of the lore that they built in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
They just expect you to have seen the first movie, and I fucking hate that in sequels.
Yeah.
Like, even if this wasn't a sequel, they don't explain anything. They don't explain anything about the world in this movie, really.
Mm-hmm.
All they explain is the drug. That's really it.
Yeah.
And look, the actors' acting was fine. The movie story was... It was nothing special.
It
was a generic movie. It was a generic movie.
I feel that they tried to dramatize far more than what they probably should have, or at least find the balance between it. There wasn't enough that was driving the story to be able to continue it through. It was just stuff that happened. There was no buy-in. There was no pulling you into the characters. There was no taking you through the journey. It was just stuff happening over there.
Stuff over there to the left. Look at these pretty fucking pictures.
Yeah. I mean, that was it.
No, I 100% agree with you. It's happened. If you got nothing to watch, chuck it on.
Yeah.
I'd recommend watching the first one though first, so you actually know what's happening, and then maybe just stop.
No, watch the first one. It's good. I still would say give the second one a watch.
It's
but
no Madam Web. I would watch this over Madam Web.
But also, it's not something, if you're looking for something to just sort of throw on, I'd put this on. Just throw it on, go for a bit of as you said, have a nap or whatever. It's chill in the background.
It's quite easy to fall asleep.
So. Exactly. I mean, if you're doing bloody housework or whatever, put it on, listen to it, watch a little bit here and there. If you want to sit down and enjoy something and actually be engrossed in it, no.
put on fucking Disney Channel, put on Shogun, because that shit's fucking phenomenal. Oh,
I started watching that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that once the whole series is done.
That is so fucking good.
Oh, so good. All right, that's enough of Code 8. Let's talk about a movie that I actually thoroughly enjoyed. I don't know about you, but that is Spaceman on Netflix.
I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
Okay, so for those that don't know, directed by John Renick, mm-hmm. Colby Day screenplay and starring Adam Sandler. So essentially it's a movie about a Czech...
No. It stars Adam Sandler and a big spider, yes.
So essentially Adam Sandler plays a Czech astronaut who's 6 months into a 12-month trip to the outskirts of Jupiter to this mysterious fucking flashing lights out in space.
Mm-hmm.
And he's starting to get lonely and all that kind of stuff, even though he can talk to NASA or whatever the astronaut place is.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a wife back home who he found out was pregnant just as he left.
Lenka.
And that's pretty much the story. And so he's starting to feel down on himself and stuff. And then all of a sudden, a fucking giant spider appears on his spaceship that can telepathically talk to him.
No, it's talking.
Oh, so he can read it. Can telepathically read his thoughts. Mm. Sorry, but it's talking. Yes, and
it gave the idea where it's not so much thoughts, but he's actually able to drive images. Yes. That's the idea.
I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. I loved the emotion of it. Adam Sandler 100% deserves praise for this movie. Like, he drove this movie. His emotional presence in the film drove it, and the spider was fucking amazing. I just love the whole premise of the loneliness and dealing with the loneliness, dealing with his mistakes in life, trying to come to terms with it all. The whole presence of whether the spider is actually there or not, if it's just his psyche, his plot.
There was three things in this movie which I... was sort of the three things that I enjoyed.
Yep.
The first thing I enjoyed was the first little spider scene that he sees when he's having the dream under his skin. I thought that was great. Like, I'm not a big fan of spiders, and that gave me chills. It was creepy. That was fucking really, really cool. That was well done. Visually, it's fantastic. I thought visually this movie was awesome. And not even just from like the space elements that it was showing. I really like the difference between the flashbacks and how they had that real, like the coarse edges and the blurry edges and whatnot, and focusing in on particular things. I thought that was really, really well done. And also the set design that went into the spaceship. I thought that was incredibly well done. Oh, and when he's just spinning around after he's fucking racked a full bottle of vodka. That was awesome. And the third thing that I actually liked is what you just touched on. The fact that through the whole story, you don't know if that spider is real or not.
Yep.
You just don't
know. And even at the end of it, you still don't.
Exactly. Exactly. I thought those were probably the three things that I really enjoyed about it. Other than that, I just couldn't get into it.
So it's very much as a filmmaker's film, this one. It's very much like if you're a filmie, you'll like it. If you're not a filmie, you won't like it.
Sure.
Even
when you touched on like the Adam Sandler and like having that emotional draw and pull and whatnot. See, I couldn't even, I like to think that I can get drawn in when someone's like putting a good emotional performance award on, but I couldn't even get drawn into what he was doing as well. And I fucking love Adam Sandler. Yeah. He's incredible. And I think I know why.
Yeah, go for it.
I think it's because when he first comes on the screen, you don't know that he's Czech when he first starts.
Yep.
And as he's talking, you kind of hear an accent, but then you don't. And then he continues without an accent, and then you hear something. You're like, what is he?
I 100% thought the same thing.
Is he American? Is he foreign? What's going on? And then it comes through like he's talking to his main guy, Peter, back on planet Earth. And then you're like, okay, so still can't tell where the fuck anybody is because he was...
none of them have accents.
Because he was an Indian actor portraying that one. And like even he was very, very American spoken.
Yeah.
And then comes back to Adam Sandler. It's like, oh yeah, Czech. Yep. And then you're like, okay, cool. So he's Czech. And from the stories that it tells, he's got a Czech upbringing. But he still doesn't have an accent. Yeah. But then sometimes he does have an accent. And then Lenka does have an accent. And then I was just like, I think that may have put me off too much to start with.
It's the whole aspect. It's very 2001 Space Odyssey, love, like that style of space.
It's a space opera.
Space opera-y, is it real, is it not real sort of movie. You can tell it certainly was trying like a low budget version of those. Mm-hmm. And the scene at the end when he's in the clouds and stuff, it was just, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
The spider getting, when he bursts out with the worms and stuff, it's fucking wicked. And still even at that point, you still don't know if it's real or not.
Exactly.
I enjoyed it personally. Mm-hmm. I would say probably 7 out of 10 packs for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you. What about you?
For me, I just couldn't get into it. So I'm only giving it 4 packs. Yeah. I just get into it.
It's 100% a filmy's film. Like if you like film, like filmmaking kind of style, filmy, like hoity-toityness, you might like it. If not, you're probably not going to enjoy it. If you don't like Adam Sandler, you're not going to enjoy it at all. Mm. Let's put it that way. And what about Code 8? How many packs are you giving that?
Code 8? It's a tricky one because, I mean, well, I gave something 5 packs the other week and that was because it was... What one did I give 5 packs? Can't remember.
What did we talk about last week?
Oh, Damsel. I gave Damsel 5 packs. Yeah.
Even though it was a movie that could have been better just because of retiming and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And it's hard because this I'd go and watch Damsel again before this. Yeah. But
probably 4.
Yeah, I reckon I'll give this one 5 packs again. Yeah. Oh, actually, no. I'll go 4.5 because I'll go watch Damsel before Code 8 again.
That's about all I'd really do with that. Spaceman, watch it. It's enjoyable. Code 8, watch it. And it's enjoyable. Madam Web, don't fucking touch it with a 10-foot pole.
How many packs do you give Madam Web?
1 fucking pack.
I'm amazed you gave it a pack.
Never watch it again. Never watch it again.
Game.
Okay, so this is a little quick one just because the news just most recently came out. Games Workshop is at Adepticon at the moment in America, and they're doing their, we've got big releases, look at all this stuff that no one will be able to ever afford, kind of thing that they do every year. They trickle leak their new releases and stuff. And the biggest one that's come out of it so far at the time of recording this is there's a new copy, new version or edition of Age of Sigmar coming out. So apparently this is a complete rewrite of the rules, whereas first edition to second edition was just like some changes and all this. This is apparently like ground up rebuild. This is a same system or same things you loved in the system, but rebuilt.
So are they rebuilding the mechanics, or are they rebuilding the story?
From what I've got, so the story is still the same, but Skavens have come into it now, which is everyone's favorite raddies. But this is the things off the website I found. So that's right. The most exciting fantasy tabletop war game in the world has been rewritten from the ground up, building on a decade of rich storytelling and bringing it with legions of new miniatures, new rules, an entirely new game mode, and harrowing new chapter in the essential battle for the Mortal Realms. The core rulebook have been reforged for the first time since the first edition of the game, released way back in 2015. The focus has been streamlining, accessibility, blah, 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 etc. And then it's got a new, as well as updates to Match Play and Path of Glory, the new edition of Warhammer Age of Sigmar is accompanied by Spearhead, a fresh game mode that plays in an hour or less using the contents of each faction's Spearhead or Vengeance boxes. So go buy more. Spearhead is a fun and exhilarating balanced version of Warhammer Age of Sigmar and a brilliant way to introduce the game to beginners. But it's not just for new players who will want to play this mode. It really takes advantage of the new modular core rules to introduce a unique tactical spin. The design studio absolutely love it, and it becomes one of the most popular games to play in lunch hours and after work around the office.
Cool.
So yeah, the new version of Sigmar. There's a mini rules version where you play with tiny little armies. We haven't played Age of Sigmar.
No, we haven't.
We played Warcry, which is in the Age of Sigmar world. I don't know. I reckon once it comes out, we might give that Spearhead a bit of a try because it doesn't sound like you need many miniatures for that. I've got a fair bit few fantasy stuff floating around.
I was going to say, I'm sure we'll find something to proxy. Yeah,
something we can print out. That sounds all right. I don't know about you, but
Look, we never played Sigma before, so I don't really know. Like as we said, we've played a bit of Warcry, and they've got several editions of Warcry out now.
I believe there's a new one announced. The new either starter or factions announced.
Mm. Yeah, I did see something.
Then there was a new Underworlds announced.
Oh yeah, they're pretty good.
I enjoy the Underworlds. They're fun. But yeah, that's really it. And then the other thing in the gaming world is Critical Role, the D&D live streamer guys that everyone knows and loves, Matt Mercer, etc. They've released their essential rule set for role-playing called Daggerheart. It's in open beta, so you can go to the website, you can download it for free. It seems pretty good. Have you watched any of the Critical Role stuff on it?
Not on Daggerheart,
yeah.
But I've watched some old stuff on Critical Role. Was a long time ago.
They've got
but not Daggerheart. No,
they've released a couple of how to play videos, and then they've released a live stream of building characters.
Mm. And then, so it's more or less their own RPG mechanics and world.
Yeah,
so
it's a D10. Awesome. It's two D10s is the main system.
Yep.
So it's not like a D20 system like Dungeons and Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
And the I've only watched the character building video. Like I've downloaded all the pack and stuff, and it has all the stuff you need to print out. And with the character creation, uses a lot of cards.
Mm.
So when you build your character, let's say you can, if you want, you can sort of
it randomizes it a bit.
You can put cards out on the table, and you'd be like, okay, they're all the races, and people would be like, people could still pick the same race and stuff. But if you want, you can make it as a DM. You'd be like, okay, everyone's only allowed to pick what's on the table. So you can't pick the same thing as someone else, and someone will be like, okay, I'm going to be a frog person, or I'm going to be this. And then what you pick, that race will then give you
the next list to pick from, so to speak.
More cards go out for like what kind of class are you, where are you from, like these cards and stuff. And each card has little abilities on it that tells you and stuff. And then each one you pick when you're building, it gives you, like if you're magic, it'll give you two classes of magic you can pick from. So it's actually still like doing it in a book, but it's just handy cards that it has that actually tells you everything on the cards.
Okay.
And it seems like a really easy system to build the character.
Mm.
I've had a quick glance through the book. The rules seem pretty simple, but I haven't, I've still got to watch the video of them doing the one-shot gameplay.
Yeah, okay.
To see how it is. But I mean, all role-play systems are pretty much essentially, as long as you know how the dice mechanic works,
just make up
the fucking rest of it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, with all the huffle kabuffle over Wizards of the Coast, with D&D last year, where they tried to change their fucking open license and everyone went, yeah, go fuck yourselves, wizard. And they went, oh, we're sorry. We're just going to react that. The new version comes out in like a couple of months.
Mm.
And everyone's like, eh, we don't really care.
Yeah. They've already soured everybody.
Yeah.
Now, so it's like,
well. And so like Critical Role, who are like essentially probably classed as the biggest streamers of D&D online, they won't be playing D&D anymore.
No.
They're using their own system.
I reckon D&D will probably take a hit. Big time.
I mean, it is an easy system to use.
It is.
It's very easy. There's lots of content for it. It's like the Games Workshop world where there is so much content. Everyone is automatically goes, oh, there's so much content there. It's so saturated in the market.
Yeah,
that's the one you see first. That's when everyone jumps to.
Yeah, okay.
And D&D has such a big name in media. Like when you got like your fucking Stranger Things and all that kind of stuff.
I suppose it was the
first as well.
Yeah. And even when we've sort of played other, like we played Starfinder.
We played Starfinder.
There was one other one we went into. I can't remember what, but it might have even just been a D&D offshoot. But I mean, no matter what RPG format or mechanic we're using, we're catching up to play D&D. Like that's, and you speak to other people as well. It's like, oh, what'd you do? Went and played D&D. What were you doing? Oh, we were actually doing this.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, that's not D&D. It's completely other RPG system and mechanic, but you still refer to it as D&D. That's what it is.
Like, what did you do on the weekend? Oh, I RPG'd.
Yeah.
What's that? I played D&D. Oh, yeah, I know what you do.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, there are so
many
systems.
It's the namesake now.
Yeah, it's just, it's kind of like a Band-Aid. They're not called Band-Aids. Band-Aid is a brand name kind of thing. It's the same thing as D&D.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not called D&D. It's just that's the brand name of one of them.
Exactly.
All right, well, that's pretty much all we've got. Anything else you want to hit up and say before we finish up the episode?
Oh, look, exciting thing for me. I cleared my table. So I got my little shelves built, got my stuff off the table. First thing we got done was Shan got the cricket or the cry cut out, put together some stuff.
Cricket's a little vinyl cutter.
Yeah, the vinyl cutter. So I put together a little bit of a sign for the nursery, which was good. Followed very shortly by me painting minis, which is good. I haven't painted any in a couple. Those army men that I've been trying to get actually put some paint on.
Yep. Episodes ago.
So I got some paint onto those guys. But I also had a bit of space to get my resin printer up and going again. So I've got some space. So I've got some going through some plastic there. And also got my other my filament printer going as well. Nice. So I've got all my bloody... getting through all the plastic.
Nice.
Which is good. Get some stuff printing again, get that happening. And with the table a bit more clear again, can start to get a bit more painting done again.
Nice. Well, over this week I've demolished my gaming table. It's gone. We are currently sitting where it used to reside. And this weekend I'll be building a new mini TCG / mini gaming table, which will be about a 3-foot by 3-foot table.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially be able to play most games these days because most things are pretty much 3x3
is pretty much a standard unless you go to the next one up.
4x4s and 6x4s, but not many things use that anymore besides like Warhammer and sort of Titan and stuff like that. Most things are on 3x3s these days. So so it'll be ideal. It's going to be fold up table so it can be packed away.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to crack that open this weekend. Then next weekend, play some minis.
rather than getting the sawhorse on the Peter Timber.
Mate, there's nothing wrong with the sawhorses.
Hey, they've done well.
Yes. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us.
I just remembered something. I was going to have a bit of a chat because I picked up the manga Parasite the other week.
Oh, yes.
I grabbed that. I've been having a read through it and whatnot. And then I thought, oh, I'll put a little bit up on today's episode, have a chat and whatnot. But when I went into having a bit of a look at Parasite, the history and the likes, there is a live action that comes out in about 3 weeks.
Yes, there is.
Parasite the Grey.
Yeah.
I went, fuck yeah. We'll throw that trailer up for the next week or two. Then we can watch the show shortly after as well.
And there's an anime as well, I believe.
Yeah, there is an anime. Yeah. There's an anime. There's actually already a live action two-part series done back in 2000 and... 14, 15, something like that. So, yeah, I thought we could go a little bit into the world of Parasite around the manga, the live actions and the anime.
Mate, there are some fantastic Japanese films from back in the day. This came to me now you mentioned that. Do you remember, in Australia, we had a distribution company called Eastern Eye. And I'm talking like back in the DVD, like Blockbuster days when Blockbuster was still a thing. They used to get a lot of these movies, and they're all Japanese films that this company, Eastern Eye, distributed over into Australia.
Right.
And there are some fantastic movies in those. Like just weird fucking movies out there that you'd never sort of see anywhere else. And I can't, there was one, it was like Princess Blade, the Princess Blades or something. Right. And it was this really good fucking like futuristic samurai fucking thing. I remember watching it. I was like, this is amazing. I love this shit. And there was a couple of other really good ones.
So it was all just subbed stuff out of Japan?
All subbed stuff, like no dubbed. Yeah. It was all just subtitled stuff, all out of Japan. And they were just fantastic movies. I can't remember any of them what happened. I just remember watching, I used to get them all the time. And they're just great movies. I have no idea. I can't remember any of them. Yeah, I'll try and remember some of them for next week.
Yeah, okay.
I'll see if I can find one and I'll get you to watch it.
Yeah, okay.
But no, they're thoroughly enjoyable. And it just made me think of that.
Anyways, the next few weeks, we'll dive into Parasite a little bit. Yep. It is an awesome anime, an awesome manga. I had no idea on the live actions, never watched them. But I thought it'd be a pretty good time with a new one coming out.
Sounds good to me. All right, you finished now?
I don't know yet.
Can we sign off now?
You can start signing off, and if something comes to me, I'll let you know.
Okay. Thank you very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Has been episode 13. And we will see you next time for episode 14. For that, I'm AJ.
And I'm Brock.